Welcome to Talk Safety to Me, a podcast from the North Dakota Safety Council, where we discuss safety at home, in the workplace, and in our communities. Recorded at the Radio Access Studio in Bismarck, North Dakota. You can find Talk Safety to Me on 102.5 FM or online at radioaccess.org or ndsc.org.
Hi, and welcome to Talk Safety to Me, where the North Dakota Safety Council and guests discuss safety at home, the workplace, and in our communities. I'm Chuck Claremont, and I'm the CEO of the North Dakota Safety Council. I'm your host. But you know what? You might wonder what makes me qualified to be your host. Good question. So today, my colleague and one of our latest hires, Alex Heiser, he's our Director of Operations for the North Dakota Safety Council. He's going to turn the tables on me. He's going to ask some questions of me and see what our typical episode is going to be when he interviews me today.
Yeah, that's right, Chuck. Today I've been honing in on my interviewing skills, and I'm no Oprah, but I might get you to cry at some point.
Nice one.
All right, so hey, let's get going. Before we get to know who Chuck Claremont is, let's give an overview of what North Dakota Safety Council is. So how do you fit in?
Well, for me, the North Dakota Safety Council, let's just kind of talk about the Safety Council in general. We're a private nonprofit. We're dedicated to saving lives and preventing injuries in North Dakota, at home, on the road, and in the workplace. And that's really basically our mission statement right there. And that's the biggest piece of where the North Dakota Safety Council is and where we fit in the state of North Dakota.
And Chuck, you've been here quite a while. So what attracted you to the safety profession?
Well, what attracted me, to be completely honest, is it was a transition job. So let's rewind 15 years. And as I was looking to change careers, had an opportunity to come to the North Dakota Safety Council because I knew somebody who was working at the Safety Council at the time. He was actually the president. And I came here with hoping to, whether it was find my way or find something. So that surely was the start of the concept of why I came here.
So what's keeping you here?
What kept me here was initially, hey, I thought maybe 6 months, maybe a year, see how things go. Maybe I find something else that's really suited for me, considering my backgrounds in finance and accounting. But, you know, ultimately, when you, and you might know this after being here 5 months, once you get going in an organization that has something as noble as our mission of saving lives and preventing injuries, it really just kind of sucks you right in. And it's kept me here in almost 15 years.
No, I agree. And funny on that is, last week I was down at Myrtle Beach and I was walking along the sidewalk and there's a guy on about a 30-foot ladder, second rung from the top. And it took a lot not to go over there and like let him know, like, that is not safe. But I took a picture and sent it to Chuck instead. So
what you should have seen now, maybe after 6 months, you might walk over there and gently go, excuse me, sir, it really isn't safe to be on that top rung.
Yep.
So you'll get there.
I'll get there. I'm close. I'm getting there. So Chuck, a little bit more about you. I know you've got a side gig as a sports announcer. So what qualifies you for that? What's the history of that? Clearly, you can tell his voice is much better on radio than mine is already. So.
Well, my background's sports. So growing up in high school and even before then, I played every sport imaginable, whether it was football in the fall or basketball in the winter. In the spring, it was track. And in the summer, it was baseball. So a lot of time in the sports, on the sports field or whatever, the court, et cetera. And for me, just my side gig, I got to love being around sports. And a good friend of mine his father was in sports announcing forever, Tom Woodmansey. And Scott Woodmansey, his son, he got me into it. And 25 years later and over 1,000 broadcasts, I've been able to do a lot of color commentary for local high school football and basketball games. And I've also subbed in on occasion as a guest host for some sports radio talk shows. So it's been kind of cool to be around the radio.
Oh, that'll be fun. I'm sure I've heard you over the years as I grew up playing basketball and listened to a lot of games. So what do you want people to know about the North Dakota Safety Council?
Well, first and foremost, I want them to know our mission. You know, our mission, as I've said it, and you'll probably hear me say it a number of times after 15 years, I just kind of regurgitate it and say it. It's, you know, we are dedicated to preventing injuries and saving lives. Okay. And I want people to know our mission. And so that's really what it starts with. And then the next piece I want people to know is that we have extremely dedicated and talented people at the North Dakota Safety Council that are supporting our mission. And I also want you to know we've got a lot of breadth and depth to our types of training, the industries we offer the training to, as well as the people and companies we offer the training to. And so I think that's the biggest part about me is just getting the word out with North Dakota Safety Council of who we are, what we do, and what we're here for.
So why does safety matter? What's the why?
Well, that's a loaded question. And 15 minutes is clearly not enough to answer that question. We could be here for a whole series of podcasts talking about why safety matters, but let's talk about something simple and give you like a short, comprehensive answer. Bottom line is safety matters because people's lives and well-being matter. And whether it's ensuring your people come home from work safe every day to their family, or that you're being safe at home so that ultimately your loved ones can come home and see you safe. I mean, that's really the big piece. And so when you think about safety, safety has such a huge significance in our everyday lives, because it's not just about you. It's about the people you're around, the people who love you, that if you're, as long as you stay safe, hopefully you can be around to help support those people around you.
Sure. So making North Dakota the safest state in the nation, we have it on our website. That's pretty lofty. How do you get there? How did you get to that vision?
Well, I'd like to think I was personally responsible for it, but I can't take credit for that one. I mean, it's been our vision for a long time, well before I came on board 15 years ago. And, you know, ultimately, we talk about it every year or every couple of years when we're talking strategic planning. You talk about vision and mission, and we keep coming back to that, saying, hey, is that too much? Saying the North Dakota Safety Council, the safest state in the nation. And is it even realistic? And I would answer yes to both of those. I would say, yes, absolutely, it is realistic. And without a doubt, it's something that I feel like we can get to. And so the way I take a look at it is I basically say, let's take a look at our future. And hopefully what we're doing with the North Dakota Safety Council is we're doing everything we can to possibly influence people's lives so that ultimately we can save lives, we can prevent injuries, and we can be a big enough influencer that ultimately we can put North Dakota in a place where I know zero injuries and zero deaths. Yes, that's a moonshot, but we have to have some place to shoot for. And, you know, if you start with saying the safest state in the nation, that's a pretty lofty goal when you mention that. But I think it's something it's lofty, but it's not unrealistic. And for us to be able to shoot for something like that, following our mission and vision, I think it's well within our boundaries.
No, that's great. And I think, you know, having that as a guiding light, you chip away at it every year and you find ways to create new programs, more programs, get more programs out there. So it's a great lofty goal. I love that. I love being part of that. It really makes you feel like you're truly giving back, doing something for your community. So I don't know if that, you know, got you to tear up or not, but, you know, there's certainly times that it's really interesting. You know, I the 5 months I've been there, having so many employees that have got things very close to their heart, that and why they're part of the safety community, that they've had firsthand, if you will, touches in place of safety or where safety wasn't practiced. I find that once a week you run across that with somebody in a conversation, and it really does make you feel good about what you're there, what you're doing, why you're doing it.
Yeah, I can tell you that, you know, I don't know if I have any specific reason of why I'm in safety. I think I told you that other than transitioning to a new job, but there's a lot of people you're going to come across, including, you know, one we might interview in the future, where, you know, hey, she has a background and a reason why she's here. And there's other people within our industry and surely within the North Dakota Safety Council who has specific reasons that they've lost a loved one or something's happened to them. And just being around that and being around that type of just dedication and drive with some people and just hearing why they're doing what they're doing. And it's pretty special. It's a big part of why I'm still here.
Sure. So, well, that's, you know, pretty much asking the Chuck question. So, you know, from here on out, I guess Chuck has to drive the ship and let him go with it. So,
well, I can tell you, I didn't quite start crying. This is the radio. You couldn't see it, but, you know, maybe I teared up a tissue there, Alex, because I'm glad to be done with you interviewing me. Right. I'm a little more comfortable talking as opposed to answering questions. Sure. So I do appreciate you getting people to know me, but hey, now that I got the mic and I get to ask the questions, it's time for our Talk Safety to Me Would You Rather quiz. You ready?
Oh, wow. Yeah. What do you got?
It's a big one. Okay. So would you rather play football without a helmet, which some say maybe I have, and they think maybe I have a little bit of brain damage, but no, since I play football a long time. So would you rather play football without a helmet, or would you rather drive in a car without a seatbelt?
Well, that's kind of a loaded question. Neither really. They don't. Both could end up with some pretty bad results.
Well, let's talk some statistics. Okay. Seatbelts. So wearing your seatbelt as a front seat passenger, it can limit your chances of moderate to fatal injury by 50%. and by dying by 45%. And how about this one? Wearing your seatbelt in a light truck limits your risk of critical injury by 60%. Wow. Another awesome statistic. This is one that I think if I look back to 15 years ago, how many people in the United States actually wore their seatbelts? This one says, most people, almost 90% of Americans use seatbelts. I think that's cool that hopefully North Dakota at some point gets to that 90% number. And then on the average, 47% of people who die in car accidents weren't wearing their seatbelts. That's a sad one.
That is.
Right there. And then the last one on seatbelts specifically is 15,000 lives are saved every year by weighing your seatbelt. By wearing, not weighing, wearing your seatbelt. So pretty cool, some pretty neat statistics there from National Highway Traffic Safety to the AAA to the CDC, all kinds of acronyms in terms of those statistics that are coming from. So, and here's another one now. Now we talk seatbelts, let's talk helmets. So let's go back to the early 20th century. I know I'm gray hair and I know I'm old, but I'm not quite early 20th century, but before helmets, players died regularly. And it makes sense playing football and knowing the ridiculous collisions that have taken place during a game. The college season of 1905 was referred to as the death harvest.
Wow.
I didn't know this. This is thanks to Marnie for supplying me this phenomenal information, the death harvest. So with 19 player deaths and 137 serious injuries in that season alone, that's pretty scary.
That's a crazy statistic. I would have never guessed, but also knowing that, you put it all on the line back then, and you still do better equipment.
It's extremely violent game. So the last statistic towards helmets is there's no such thing as a concussion-proof helmet. And as much as they've changed things and got to the pieces where we are, even in the current day NFL and the millions and millions and millions of dollars they're putting out there and the new helmets that are out there, there's no such thing as a concussion-proof helmet, but they do reduce the risk of suffering head injuries by 60 to 70%. So here's the lesson. Wear your seatbelt.
Yep.
And wear your helmet if you're going to play football. And work with the North Dakota Safety Council so we can help you prevent injuries and save lives. That's the end of Talk Safety to Me with the North Dakota Safety Council. Thanks to Alex Heiser. And thanks to Marnie for helping produce this behind the scenes. We'll have a lot more episodes dropping soon, so stay connected with us. You can find our podcast as well as information about our safety classes and consulting, our blog, and information about our annual conference on our website, ndsc.org. Stay safe out there.
Thanks for listening to Talk Safety to Me, a podcast of the North Dakota Safety Council, recorded at the Radio Access Studio in Bismarck, North Dakota. You can find our podcast, safety training options, information about our annual conference, and much more at ndsc.org. You can also listen to Talk Safety to Me on 102.5 FM and online at radioaccess.org.